Okay. Hello, NBC. We are ready with you for Herb Planbeck and WHO 2 5-minute recording. We'll go ahead then in 30 seconds, 30 seconds from now.
Hello, Bill Diamond.
This is Herb Planbeck, again reporting about Iowa and other Midwestern farm boys here on the 7th Army Front. I have seen so many of our farm lads in recent days, I scarcely know where to begin. But I'm certain none of the fellows was happier to see me than Tech 3 Nicholas White of near Harlan, who used to listen to our market and other farm hours regularly, and who never dreamed we would meet here deep in Germany. Nick is now with an ordnance depot, and our meeting came about when my Jeep refused to budge, and right on the very day I had so much to do with Rainbow Division men. It was Nick and another young farmer, Tech 3 Reinhard Malpert of Hecla, South Dakota, also a WHO listener in his pre-Army days, who fixed up our Josette and did a fine job of it. Both have been through the African, Sicilian, Italian, French, and the present campaigns. Each has 4 or 5 battle stars. White says his mechanical experience with farm tractors back home has stood him in good stead. He's working on heavy Army equipment and prime movers now, but sincerely looks forward to farming again. As a matter of fact, he's farming now, in partnership with his dad and twin brother. He feels it was his duty to go to war, though, while the others are carrying on the farm front, producing the food and the fiber that is so priceless here. When I showed Nick my ear of corn, tears almost came to his eyes. He was so glad. And he immediately called over all the Texas guys in his outfit to prove the point he evidently had often made about Iowa farm superiority. Incidentally, White also told me of a Harlan pal whom he had just seen after Nuremberg, Tech 5 Helmer Markison with the 45th Division. At the 15th Corps, I met a former Madison County 4-H member, Corporal Bill Jameson of near Winterset, whose mother wrote about WHO being represented here. Bill was surely glad to see us. He now has 3 battle stars and the bronze medal accorded for meritorious service. He looks forward to that farm at home again, although right now he is in an administrative section here. With a military police unit, I met a number of top-notch farm youths, likewise doing a marvelous job, escorting generals and other high-ranking officers, directing traffic, guarding and taking over towns as soon as troops enter, and so forth. I mean to deal with their work more fully another time. But for the moment, may I say it was grand to be with Sergeant Laverne Whitaker, now in charge of the 40 MPs in his unit, formerly a Granger farm youth, who got quite a kick out of our ear of corn and wondered how the crop had been. And it was a similar pleasure to be with Corporal Don Kellerhar of near Lehigh, whose mother has likewise been writing him, hoping we might meet. I'm glad her hope came true, for Kelly, as the buddies call him, saw to it I met quite a number of Iowans. Corporal Kellerhar has been overseas 7 months, already has several battle stars, and had one Jeep shot out from under him, but says he feels perfectly safe. He remembers Captain Grover Hahn, former Webster County 4-H leader, now in the Pacific. Still another farm youth in the same outfit was Private First Class Nayland Brunswold of near Kensett, where he farmed with his brother Orrin before the war, and where he most certainly plans to return. The sooner, the better, he added. Brunsville thinks they do a good job of small-scale farming here, but it's too much like gardening compared to Iowa agriculture, where, as he put it, they're doing a fine job. Private First Class Don Gerling of near Burlington was also in this company and likewise drew the praise of his officers for his work as an MP. Other farm boys I was with on this front were Private First Class Don Brisboys of near Alta, Iowa, who's feeling fine and a bit homesick like the rest of us. PFC Lyndon Gay, former WHO Farm Hour fan, also most anxious to get back to the peace and quiet of his folks' farm near Polo, Missouri. And Private First Class Glenn Craig, combat soldier who feels the same way about a place near Osawatomie, Kansas. And the same hope goes for most other farm lads here. This is Herb Planbeck returning you to Bill Diamond. Hello, WHO. This is your war correspondent on the 7th Army Front, reporting again about Midwestern men we've had the privilege of seeing here. When I use the term bull session, I'm sure most of our listeners will recognize it as a meeting of a group of men in which they discuss every imaginable subject from the most trivial to those worldly important. Knowing these gatherings are usually in college or lodge rooms, I doubt that you'll guess where the one I'm reporting was held. Instead of soft chairs and sofas, we had nothing other than shell cases and old cots or the ground to sit on. There was no fine radio bringing us soft music, no cigars, nor boxes of candies or cookies, and no cozy fire. The walls were the tall pines about us. Our floor was a foxhole and slip-trenched pitted ground, and the ceiling was little patches of star-studded sky seen through branches above. It was a lovely, though not a quiet, late evening. I was with a group of combat engineers, men whose work in the steady march to victory is seldom given the credit it deserved. Our session was the result of my meeting one of the members of the group, Tech 4 Dennis Haggerty of Algona, Iowa, to whom I've referred before, who took me over to our Pine Forest rendezvous. The men, all with the 2831 engineers, were just finishing chow, and after a stiff day's work, were ready to relax. In the group were PFC Harold Mount of Grand Junction, Tech 5 Alan Wadley of Lacona, Private Frank Anderson, formerly of Marshalltown, now near St. Paul, Minnesota, Tech 5 Jack Parker of Earlham, Iowa, Sergeant Lawrence Capel of Haverhill, Private First Class Glenn Berkey, Gray, Iowa Farm Youth, Sergeant Roman Pisick of Wells, Minnesota, Tech 5 Tom Llewellyn of Dallas, Iowa, Tech 5 Eugene Schellenberger of Waterloo, Sergeant Holger Larson of Nashawak, Minnesota, and Sergeant Clarence Wall of Comfrey, Minnesota. For a little bit, we talked about the tough job the unit had in making the Rhine crossing, and that Capel, Parker, and some of the others had the Purple Heart, but were looking swell again, and about Berkey's farm plans and Schellenberger's baby and Wadley's desire to have his traveling days end soon so he can get back to Lacona. Most of the group had been in service 3 years or more. The heavy artillery firing at the edge of the forest, close to where we were, was not even noticed by them. Heavy volleys were taking place then, and between them I asked questions, but they asked many more. Having left the States only 2 months ago, I was quite a novelty. There were many things they were curious about. Among their first questions was one concerning prisoner of war treatment in the States. The men here have heard ugly reports about treatment of and conduct by PWs back home. After having seen buddies fall beside them, these men are dead set against any coddling of either Nazis or Japs. Labor came in for quite a lot of discussion. The boys resent any strikes, but generally feel that labor and agriculture both have done a splendid job, and a highly necessary one. Most of the boys are worried about how many jobs there'll be when they get back home. Reconversion is something they want to know more about, and I'm afraid I was of little help. They hope the home folks won't get the cart ahead of the horse as far as the war is concerned. The way they figure, And the way guns were booming nearby, the war isn't over yet. They want war and farm workers to stick to their jobs and to keep on producing. Demobilization also is a number one subject. These three-year veterans hope length and type of service will be given consideration when it comes to issuing furloughs and in whatever mustering out may be done when the European conflict is finally finished. All the boys expressed appreciation for the interest correspondents have taken in them. All are anxious their unit, rather than they as individuals, be given credit. Many of the men have or expect to join service organizations, but feel they should not be used as political pressure groups. All of them said Chow was really swell. But they'd like a glass of cold milk and some ice cream and similar treats, and they can use more mail, and they also want to go home tomorrow if possible. This is Herb Plambeck returning you to Des Moines.
Hello, NBC. That's all we have for you this afternoon.